Truth
Talks. Welcome back, everyone, to the Truth Talks podcast. I'm your host, Buddy Boone. This is actually take two, because somehow or another, when you have certain people in your studio, stuff just stops working. So, all right, that's a joke, obviously. But we have a treat today. Actually, I'm going to make this introduction a little shorter since the other one was so long and just get right to it. We don't have know how much time we have left with everything to be working properly, so we're just going to get right into it. With me today, I actually have one of our latest elders, one of two, to come on as an elder, but he's also one of our missionaries we support with FCA. His name is Mr. Brian Fish. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today. And also with us is, what do they call you? He said it during the sermon today. They call you something different. What is it that they call you?
No one calls me that. They just call me Chris.
What is it that he was referring to, though?
He said general, but said, I know that's not the case yet.
But they have to call you because of your rank. Is that what it is?
Technically, they just have to call me sir.
Ah, okay. Well, that voice you just heard, his name is Chris Smith. How you doing today, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Awesome. You notice I said sir. All right. So we're just going to get right into it. We have the privilege as a church, as Belcroft Bible Church, to support Brian in FCA and what he does. And then Chris is actually here because he is a product of that. And it's a privilege for us to not only just pray for you as we did today, but also to support and to be a part of the launch of that. And right now, what I want to do is ask, just kind of talk through a few things. One, the first thing is directed to Brian. What is it that, or give us a kind of a quick overview of FCA and what the purpose of the organization is?
Yeah. So Fellowship of Christian Athletes exists to lead every coach and every athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. That's our mission statement. And so we do that in many different ways. It's an international ministry, everywhere from middle schools to community sports. It is growing in many different ways. My area specifically is obviously the college campus, and we have a good number of college representatives throughout the country who focus their time at a specific place. My specific place, as you already said, is the Naval Academy, which has all sorts of unique features to it itself. And so I would say within the organization of FCA, my role is very, very unique. There's not a lot of others out there who are doing something in such a confined and restricted area.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Yeah. And that actually leads to my next question, because of the fact that you have the privilege of doing it at the Naval Academy, which is not just a college per se, but it's also a military installation and it's government. So, you know, how did that come about that we were able to, or you were able to kind of get that position there?
Yeah. Well, the short answer is it was the sovereignty and providence of God.
Amen.
And the longer answer is, just through my experiences as a college coach, I shared with you earlier in our first take, I knew I wanted to be a college coach from before the time I even went to college. I loved college football. I loved playing football. Knew that was my aim in life, and the Lord worked that out to be the case. And for 17 years, it's all I knew. It's all I wanted to do. Until maybe the last 3 months, hadn't really considered much else. There was a short stint, 5 years before I got out, where I had considered and been invited on to be an intern at a church and explore seminary options and look into missions that way. However, the one job that would have kept me in college football at that time was suddenly opened. And it was offered to me. It was the head coaching job at my alma mater. And so I stepped full-heartedly into that. I was really excited to go back to where I had played. And they had kind of taken a spiral downward and was able to at least minimally take it to the next step. Was excited to do so, like I said. However, there was always this call that God had begun to put on my heart of what else is there? Could I be doing more?
Yeah.
As a head coach, you suddenly realize everything you do is simply to get one more first down. Mm. And that that bothered me, you know, that my whole life I worked many, many hours and was away from my family a lot. And when it all boiled down to it, it really felt like it was just to move those chains to get one more first down. And mm-hmm. obviously for one who was also growing in his faith, growing in his desire to serve God in every way, that didn't sit well. And so we began to really explore the options. Honestly, my wife and I were thinking overseas missions. And with about 3 months to go in that last season that I coached, I just started putting feelers out. Mm. I couldn't figure out how a college, an American college football coach, could go from that occupation to overseas missionary.
Yeah.
And I was kind of at the stage of life. I didn't really have time or the convenience of, you know, uprooting and going to seminary and all the steps mm-hmm. that it would probably take to do so in that venue. So I put one feeler out to the guy who was the director at the Naval Academy for FCA, because he was like-minded, because he was a master's grad. Mm-hmm. I thought he might have some ideas overseas. Mm. And he's like, why don't you come to the Naval Academy and serve with FCA mm. with me? And it's like the switch clicked. Like I said, that was probably, I don't even think it was 3 months. It was probably within a month before the end of that season. Things went kind of into high gear mm-hmm. from there. And about 3 days after that season, I was able to confidently step away from that, which I had done my whole life, and say, I'm going this direction, going to wow. head out to the Naval Academy. And it was awesome to see how God just, you know, parted the sea, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt like it was a Red Sea experience when you weren't quite sure, but you knew, you know, God was, had all the leadings of God was there.
Mm.
And then you took that step and it's like everything worked out.
Yeah. That's great. You went from moving the chains to moving the chains. You see how you did that? Yeah.
That's good, man. That's good.
Yeah. So now we're gonna switch over to Chris. Chris, how did you get to the Naval Academy?
So originally it was for lacrosse. I was recruited to play lacrosse there.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Black people playing lacrosse is pretty interesting to me. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely the greatest sport on 2 feet. I'll put it that way.
Okay. All right.
It's a fun sport. But
and you're from Maryland, so that's naturally what people from Maryland do. They play lacrosse.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Best lacrosse in the nation, if yep. you ask me.
Yeah.
But I went to NAPS, and my brother's actually at the Naval Academy.
Okay.
And he was wrestling, and he told me about FCA. He told me about Brian, and then Kirby, who was the old director, came up to NAPS one time, and he was like, "Mike's brother," and I was mm-hmm. like. So I got introduced to Kirby, and then we came down, and I remember this. Brian's laughing because we were at a lacrosse game, and while I was in NAPS, we're watching Navy play UMBC.
Might have been.
I think it was UMBC. Yeah. And I got introduced to Brian, and I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Good. How are you?" I said, "Good." And we stood side by side. Didn't talk. About 20 minutes. And then I think we said bye. And then that was that. So I came for lacrosse, and then my brother wrestled here, and he knew Brian, and that's how Brian and I got introduced.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to set this up, because if you ask any of the or a lot of the kids at Belcroft, Brian Fish is actually the scariest elder. So I think that seeing that, when you have a conversation between two guys standing there for 20 minutes and nothing happens, that's pretty much kind of how things go with the scariest elder. You just stand there and it's like, okay, here's what it is. And then, but from that, a bond actually starts to build. So that's amazing how that actually happens. It's pretty funny to me to see that, but it makes complete sense. If you know who Brian Fish is, you know that makes complete sense. So that's great. So, all right, so now you're both at the Naval Academy. And, Brian, kind of how did the how did everything start off? Was it a rocky start? Was it an easy start? Good start? Like, and then, you know, there's a lot of different sports that are at the Naval Academy. I think of, you know, some of the movies that I've seen. I think boxing is at the Naval Academy. Yeah. So how did specifically football become, well, I think I know the answer to this question, but how did football specifically be that sport that you kind of got into?
Yeah, well, in all honesty, football hasn't been one of the main sports that I hang out with.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of the way FCA works and the way it worked for me, I wasn't really given an in. You just go begin to try to meet the coaches. Mm. You begin to meet some of the athletes. Obviously, FCA, we have a weekly meeting where all athletes are invited to, so you get to know some of the athletes that way. But it's really about developing
Okay. It gave me an error, but it's still recording.
Okay.
So, all right. I just marked it just so I'll know where that was. Okay, cool. Sorry about that.
So it really began with developing a pretty good relationship with one of the sprint football coaches, which nobody may know what that is, but it's basically football, but it's for guys 180 pounds or lighter. It's lightweight football. And
because they're the only ones that can sprint, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a team that's been there historically for years. Mm-hmm. And the coach and I developed a good relationship there. He's a believer. And so I hung out with their team a lot, began to develop just through some of the guys that were coming to FCA relationship with lacrosse. And so you're really just looking for those windows to step into of where God's working in guys' lives, and eventually those relationships turn into weekly meetings if they desire. And that's really how I got to know Chris. His brother Mike was one who I met with probably 3 years until COVID hit, 3 years on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got to know Chris. When Chris got there, we probably met from one of the first weeks you were there. I think definitely first semester,
right?
Your freshman year, we began meeting one-on-one. Of course, looking back, we see he wasn't a believer at that time. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of questions, he was thirsty for sure. I remember all the books he was asking me for even then. He wanted to learn biblical theology, you know, and had all these dreams. And so but one of the first books that I always try to take guys through is the little black book that a lot of us know, the book What is the Gospel? Mm-hmm. That's whether they're a believer or a non-believer. I tell them this is foundational to us getting off on the right step and making sure that, one, you know the gospel, but then the power that it holds in the life of a believer is huge. And so
Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the question I have for you. How did those sessions go? Like, during the sessions that you were in for FCA, like, what were they like? And this is not from Brian's perspective. This is from your perspective. Like, how did all of that go?
Like the FCA meetings or the meetings with Brian specifically?
The FCA meetings.
To be honest, I don't really remember a lot of them since they were plebe year. And that's, 5 years ago now?
Mm-hmm. And plebe is the first year?
Plebe is your freshman year.
Yeah.
And it was a whirlwind, to say the least.
Okay.
It was, you have a little bit more responsibilities because you are a plebe and they treat you as such, as well as being an athlete. And just academics, like taking 19 credits. I've never taken 19 credits before. I was struggling, to say the least, as well as going to practice, struggling in practice. And then by God's grace, I don't know what it was, but I would show up to FCA on Tuesday or Thursday, whichever day it was, our freshman year. So I don't really remember a lot. I do remember Kirby at that time, who was the director, getting up there preaching And obviously I was like, yeah, like I agree with this. Like, I don't have a background. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but it was all that, like, morally, like, this is correct and we should do this, we should do that. But I had no idea what any of that meant. Like, I know who Jesus was just from people talking about him, but I didn't know actually who he was or the implications of all of the Bible being true. And then when I started meeting with Brian one-on-one and we went through what is the gospel, everything still went through just over my head. Mm-hmm. Veil was still on my eyes. My heart was still just a heart of stone. And he threw some pointers out there, like asked some tough questions, some, I like to call them bricks to the face. Mm. And I was kind of just like, yeah, like I agree with that and it's true, but obviously from my nature, like I can't go against my nature, and it was still just sinful and my eyes weren't open yet. And so they were good sessions looking back on them, mm-hmm. but I can see I was not saved.
Wow. That's good. I wasn't expecting that answer from the question, but I'm glad I asked that question, because I think that what happens is we have this, and you talked about the veil. It's that veil that we have on our eyes and we can't really see it. And there is, and you mentioned that you didn't come from a Christian household. Yeah. People that come from a Christian household have that veil too. You know, I had it for many years, so that's great. And when you started to have, now you're having the sessions with Brian, one-on-one, and you're kind of going through the gospel and what the gospel, is, how did that affect the people that were around you? Like, was there a change? And you said it was tough, you know, your freshman year. How did that change the people around you? Did they start seeing any type of differences or changes in you, or did somebody point it out?
I would say definitely not freshman year.
Okay.
The end of sophomore year, like going into my junior year is, I believe, probably when I truly got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of when everything would changed. Mm-hmm. How I look at things, how I talked. I remember getting a text from someone I love very much, and they're just like, I don't know who you are anymore.
Wow.
And I remember I got that text and I called Brian. It was like 9:30 at night, and I was like, what do I do with this? But he was awake and he answered the phone, praise the Lord, and he just kind of walked me through and was like, that's the greatest compliment you could get, being a believer in Christ. And so I stopped socializing with certain people,
mm-hmm.
stopped going to certain places.
Mm-hmm.
And if I went there, I just sat there and I was like, this is weird. Like, I don't desire to do these things anymore.
Yeah.
I don't desire to be around this crowd anymore. I mainly saw it in my inner thought life,
mm-hmm.
first. And then, just being around Brian, Pastor Matt, and Jody, really, she was like, yeah, you're used to not smile, Chris. You know that? And I was like, no, I smiled. She's like, no, you didn't. You didn't smile at all. And then, everything changed.
Wow.
Everything changed.
That's good. That's good. Well, here's what I want to do too, as far as a question is concerned. Brian, your kind of your influence on a lot of these folks that are in the athletic portion of the Naval Academy, it's beginning to spread. There's so many people that I see now, and Chris, you might be able to speak to this as well. There's so many people that I see now. One guy, and you all know exactly what I'm talking about, he comes in with like a 2-gallon jug of water, walking in. What's his name?
Josh.
Josh Payne. Yeah. And he's 100% a lineman. Like, he has that lineman's neck. And if you need a point of reference, I used to have a lineman's neck. I was never a lineman, but I had a lineman's neck. It's just wide, just a wide neck. So he obviously played football, and he would come as a result of, I'm guessing, like an FCA group meeting. But then you have some people that, you know, and I am stereotyping, that aren't that athletic looking, that may be, you know, some type of athlete, but they don't really seem to be like that athletic. But, you know, they come in their uniform, or you kind of know that they're coming with other people in uniform. So it seems as if the influence has spread outside of the sports capacity at the Naval Academy. How did that come about? Like, what was the, can you point back to a point or a genesis, or just, you know, who would talk to who or anything like that? You know, what is that like?
Yeah, I actually can give you a very specific time that I felt like that started, where Belcroft really became a place where these guys were looking to come to. If you know, I remember early on, there'd be maybe one or two guys that would come out from FCA, but it was a time, I want to say it was the fall of COVID. I was not able to be on the yard for a full year because they didn't let anybody extra on the yard when these mids were locked down. One of the guys, so I continued to meet with guys weekly, but I had to do it via Zoom.
Wow.
Which was brutal. Spending a year on Zoom, not being able to like look eye to eye to the guys that I care about most and want, you know, it's just, it wasn't fun. But anyways, the Lord used that time. And one of the specific ways that he used it is one of the guys that I did meet with on a weekly basis was starting to get tuned into Belcroft and would listen to the stream on Sundays. This was during a time where they were locked down. Some of those weeks, they couldn't even leave their room except to go train, you know, to go work out. So anyways, he tuned in Belcroft, and his roommate, atheist, up in his bunk, was hearing Belcroft against his will because his roommate was an athlete I was working with.
Right.
And the story goes that it went from one week him being up in the bunk to the next week he was down side by side with this young man. And when they were allowed to get off the yard, all of a sudden Jason started coming with Christian and was saved again by the Lord in his way, his timing. If I understand it right, it was on his drive back home Christmas time, driving back to Southwest Arizona. Yeah. And again, non-athlete, not a guy that ever came to FCA once. But as he came back that next semester, he was a senior, so he was graduating. But it was really his influence that started to pull in so many of the guys. If you remember Dylan, Dylan was a guy that was connected, I think, with Jason. And from there, it's just snowballed, you know, here at Belcroft, to the point that I say this all the time, like most of these mids, I don't know. I don't know the you know, there are a good handful of FCA guys. But even, you know, one of the young men that was in Pastor's Home last week, he was here not because I knew him, but because Nate Rader, a young man that hung out with Chris and I a lot, invited him. And now all of a sudden there's, you know, just a whole group. Obviously the ministry of Rooted that was started not by an FCA midshipman, but by just one of these guys that was coming saying, hey, we'd love to have more teaching. How can we do this? And so we get together on a Friday night every month, and they get another hour and a half of pastors teaching with question and answers afterwards. It's nothing of me. It's just the work of the Lord. And like we always say, when the word of God is opened, the thirsty come.
Yeah.
You know?
And are satisfied.
Are satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Some are turned away by it, right? Yeah. But it always works. Pastor just went over that again in the membership class earlier today, where the word of God always works.
Yeah.
To the thirsty, it draws them because they're satisfied. And to some, it hardens them. And that's sad for us to see. But again, the power is in God's word.
Yeah. That's good. And I think that the biggest thing is that a lot of times I can't tell, like, especially if they're in their uniform. Like, we know that you are from the Naval Academy because we just assume that. A couple of weeks ago, we had two guys come in and we all thought that they were midshipmen, but they were actually Marines. But they heard about Belcroft from a midshipman, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, and they're coming from, they're stationed somewhere else, like Southern Maryland. And I was like, we all thought that, you know, and it's the high and tight look, yep. or it's the shaved face. It's like, okay, they got to be, you know, military. And they were, but they were Marines. They weren't even, you know, in the Navy. So it was pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting to see kind of how this is, everything is kind of spreading, especially over there in that. And, you know, now it's more or less, you know, they filled up the front row, you know. Yeah. And I think that my thing is, as a guy who is from generation, what am I, X, I think X, Generation X.
Yeah.
One of those generations.
I get confused when I start trying to figure out my generation.
I know I'm not a millennial. I know that much.
Right. Or
past that. But I see, and usually what I see is you know, young people now, they shy away from everything. Yeah. They shy away. They're in the sides or in the back of the sanctuary, but they're front row.
Yeah.
I call it spit row. That's where they sit. They sit on spit row because they get everything that Matt is, and they're right there. And it's turned into that thing where it's like the people you refer to, the thirsty, like they are coming and they want to get the full, you know, the full force of the scripture in front of them. So I think it's great to see that. Now, I want to switch over to Chris here, because Chris, you know, we had the opportunity to pray for you and your wife, who Kate is here. I get all three of y'all mixed up all the time. I'm like, their name is either Kat or Kate. It's got to be either one. And I think your mom is Kate, Kathleen, or Kathleen Kate.
Your mom is Catherine.
Your mom is Catherine, but she goes by Kate. Right, and your sister's Kat. Yeah, I get all of y'all mixed up. I was like, Kenny and Catherine. I get them all mixed up. But she's here. She's making sure that Chris says everything correctly in the background. But we had the opportunity to pray for the both of you, which, you know, love that opportunity. You're actually, in a way, you're going to be launched by the federal government to the west side, the west coast. And you're going to Camp Pendleton. With this being in mind, and also congratulations on the baby. You know, a lot of people were surprised by that. Somehow my wife knew. I'm not going to ask how she knew. But with all of this happening, I mean, this is a lot. You know, you got married last year. Now you're being shipped over to the West Coast. Help me understand where your head is, how you're feeling, you know, and I'm asking a feelings question to a guy who could probably bench press about 450 right now in front of me.
Absolutely.
And just started smiling like a year and a half ago. So help me understand, you know, what are you feeling right now? Where's your head?
Honestly, I'm a simple man because I'm not very learned, but I just try to stay faithful. That's like my one word. It's a lot, and it's only a lot if I look at myself, to be honest. And I'm just trying to read God's word, read what it says, lead my wife faithfully. And then we actually just had an ultrasound, and I saw, call him a little bean,
mm-hmm.
little bean in there. And I'm just like, they're going to be watching everything that I do, everything that I say. And that's starting to sink in a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to be faithful. I'm trying not to pay attention to my feelings at all and just ultimately rely on the Lord, because he's the one that is in control of everything. He's the one who's timing this is all in. Because if it was, I definitely wouldn't have picked timing for all this to happen. Mm-hmm. But he picked the timing, and it's just like, well, we're going to grow through this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited, to be honest. I'm excited. I just got my job, what I'm going to do in the Marine Corps, found out we had a baby, brewing in the womb, and it's just like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
We're about to drive, was it going to be 5 days? 5 days across the country, see a whole bunch of cities. We never want to leave Belcroft, but I've never been to another church, so it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, you know, Belcroft is one. We're not going to get much better than Belcroft, but you get to see other churches, see how they do things. Obviously, if it's biblical, we'll stay there. If it's not, then we're not going to stay there. But I'm excited, to say the least.
Good.
I know Caitlin's excited, and it's going to be fun.
And you know what's funny is that, I mean, you can say it or I can say it. And I'm talking. I feel like I'm a dad now right now, because I am. I am. If my son had said that to me, I'd said, I think you're ready. I think you're ready. And you're not ready because you've trained or you have a different understanding. What you understand the most is that you are not able to do it on your own. And, a young guy, a good looking guy, got a wife, got a kid on the way, in shape. I'm in shape too. It's round, but you're in shape, and it's like, man, you got the whole world ahead of you. And, your understanding of, the fact that you have to 100% lean on Christ, to do everything. I think that's why I would say that you are at least ready enough to go out there and do it. So be encouraged that you have heard, and God has set you up. Think about it. Pastor Matt was in California, and he came here, and now you're going to California. But in that time frame, you were able to sit under the teaching of Scripture in a very easy to understand way. Right. And now you know what a church is supposed to look like because of Belcroft. You know what it is going to look like if you have to, leave and find another church. Like, you know exactly what to look for. And you have learned from the men here, Pastor Matt, the elders, how to lead your wife. So most of the time when a guy, a young man, myself, whoever, isn't doing what they're supposed to do, is not because of lack of knowledge. It's because of lack of motivation in doing it and the actual action of it. So, yeah, man, just be encouraged in that whole thing. And I set you up for that question, just so you could kind of voice that out and say that, because there's a lot of people that will listen to this and they're like, well, I need this and I need that and I need this. No, you need Christ.
Right.
You need to, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own in the first place. So it was a setup question, but I feel like you answered it very well. And a lot of times the feelings is what trips us up. So I like it. It's great. It's the right way to answer the question. And Brian, as we're kind of closing down, you have been able to influence a lot of different people at the Naval Academy. And there's still more, that will be launched the way Chris has launched. I mean, I even think of Dylan, how he's, in another state now. And, it was great to see him a few months ago, to just come and just be able to just fall right back into the fold. What would be your, I would imagine that there's some guys that might be listening to this that were at the Naval Academy, that were able to experience some of the FCA meetings while you were there. And they're probably looking for a church, Give me, what type of encouragement would you be able to give to them as they're in their journey, as they're in the trenches, literally a lot of times? They may be in the field right now. And, like my daughter is out in the field, out in California, actually. And what kind of encouragement can you give them when it comes to spiritual things in Christ and what they should be doing and looking for?
Yeah, here's something that I try to get clear to the mids as best I can. Obviously, I've done this 8 years now. I've discipled more guys than I can count, met with guys that, on a weekly basis, more guys than I can count, care deeply for all of them. But here's what I tell them. Those that are serious about their faith will get involved with a local church. FCA is not the church. FCA is going to pass away at some point, but it's the church that really is meant to grow the individuals.
Yeah.
And I've seen it countless times when guys take me seriously on that and when they organize their life, because life is busy.
Mm-hmm.
Life is busy at the academy. They seem to have lots of excuses as to why church doesn't fit. Sometimes those are legit, many times they aren't. But those that organize their life in such a way that make church a priority, and not just a church, but a biblical church, those are the ones that I've seen not only grow, but as I keep in touch with them as they move across the nation, as they move across the world, those are the ones who are still growing.
Yeah.
Those who have taken the local church seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think even a testimony to what this church has meant for me personally. When I joined up to serve with FCA, I would have done it a lot differently than how I do it now because of Belcroft and because of the influence of Belcroft. I see that I'm not the church and I can't take on that weight of the church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you know, I probably should have asked this question before, because this is a question that's been I've been pondering. There are a lot of organizations that work with college students, work with high schools, and one particular organization, I'll just call them out, I have no problem, because they've been having problems themselves. Crew is one. And Crew doesn't, from what I understand, and I've heard from other people, they're not always necessarily connected to a local church. And when I was working for Young Life as a volunteer, it was a lot of camps. It was counseling, you know, campaigners, and, you know, all these C words. And there was no church that was involved with that C word, because it was like they would, you know, get them saved, and then they would go and they would go to camp. And it's like they have this moment at camp after the sin talk.
Yeah.
How has that been working? Do you always recommend Belcroft, or is it just a local church?
Yeah. So I try to be careful in, how I go about navigating those things.
Mm-hmm.
I try to display with the way I teach the, significance and the authority of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and, display to them the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
What it looks like to open God's word and try to grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that gets modeled well for us here, and that's one of the impacts that Belcroft has had on me to learn how to do that.
Right.
And so that's really what I want them to grasp. I want them to grasp the significance that the word should play anytime anybody they're listening to. I mean, we live in a generation where everybody's on – they think church is getting on their phone, you know, and all the spiritual influence for some of these mids, so much of it is coming from technology.
Yeah.
Which we could spin off into a whole other talk on that. But is the one who's teaching, is he teaching rightly? Is he cutting the word rightly?
Right.
You know, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
So trying to display that and model that for these midshipmen is my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means the room is filled. Other times, you know, you see ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest thing I want to be is faithful to the word, even though there's that inner man pressure, that pride pressure of, I love it when the room's full.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as much fun when you're like, man, where's everybody at tonight?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just have to keep being reminded. It's why I'm around the guys I'm around, the elders encouraging me. You just keep being faithful to the word.
Yeah.
You know, I think so often of the parable of the soils, being one who just scatters the word.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's going to fall on rocky soil. Some of it's going to fall on the thorny soil or the path, right? Get eaten up right away. But some of it is going to fall on soft soil.
Yeah.
And when it does, man, it's fun to sit there and watch, and you realize it's not of you, you know? I think all the different parachurch ministries have, I'm sure, good people mm-hmm. in them, but it's all based on how they're handling the word.
Yeah.
And that's where the strength is in the individuals. And I've run into some good individuals in each of those organizations.
Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is it's the way that the individual does. And if they go to scripture, it's going to encourage.
And even their connection with the local church, I think, is a big piece, like you were saying. Like, do they see themselves as a separate entity
mm-hmm.
or as just an arm, like Pastor said,
of
one who, through the venue of FCA, allows me to take the gospel
mm-hmm.
and to these mids. And you know, there's midshipmen coming to our church, not FCA, but they're being discipled by people in the local church. And that's mm-hmm. awesome, because I can't touch all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's a lot. So, well, yeah, man, I appreciate that. Anything you want to add, either one of you? Because the next thing is, I'm going to ask one of you to volunteer to give us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm looking for a volunteer. If you want to force Chris to do it, you can, but it's up to you.
I can't force him to do anything. He's bigger than me and in better shape. But if he wants to, I will gladly give him that opportunity.
Yeah. he's saying that he's saying the teacher is in the room, so the teacher should do it. That's what he's saying.
Well, we boil it down just like the little black book leads us. It's one of the reasons I use it. The Holy God, sinful man, perfect substitute, responsive faith and repentance. That's mm-hmm. that's the gospel in four basic concepts. There's a God who created us, who's holy, and we quickly realize when we recognize what that word means to be holy, that man is not. Man fell. Adam and Eve sinned, putting all of us into this separation from God that there's only one solution to, and that's for a like substitute, a similar substitute, a perfect substitute
mm-hmm.
to come and take the wrath that is due sinful man because of this just and holy God. And those who turn to Christ and look to Christ to cover them, to take upon the wrath that is rightly owed them on his own back, those who look to him in faith and repent and turn of their sins will be saved.
It's good. I love it. I appreciate it. And appreciate you all coming to have a conversation with us to introduce FCA to us, but for us to understand it, but also just kind of understand, you know, you all and your role in that. And we're so grateful that, you know, we have folks in our church that are benefiting from it, just as Chris is. And then, you know, all the other guys that are gals that are here. It's a great privilege that we have. And thank you all for listening to the Truth Talks podcast. And we will see you all next time. Take care. Hey, thank you for listening to the Truth Talks podcast. Please reach out to us via Twitter at The Truth Talks P1, via Instagram, The Truth Talks Podcast, or you can email at thetruthtalkspodcast@gmail.com. Please visit our website as well, bellcroftbiblechurch.org. Click on the Ministries tab and click Truth Talks Podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. Delighting in the Word, that we might walk in the truth. The Truth Talks podcast is a ministry of Bellcroft Bible Church in Bowie, Maryland.